Hey, welcome today to all of our life churches, all of our network churches, our church online family all over the world. Let me tell you what we're going to do next week. Next week, we're starting a brand new message series, and I hate to tell you, but you need it. It's called My Big Fat Mouth. The words that we speak are incredibly important. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. We're going to talk about complaining. We're going to talk about lying. We're going to talk about gossiping, and we're going to talk about criticizing. It will help our relationships with other people. It will strengthen our relationship with God. It starts next week. It's called My Big Fat Mouth. Today, I want to do something a little bit different, and I want to talk to you about one of the biggest burdens on my heart and something that I believe absolutely and completely reflects the heart of God. I believe that in our church, one of the greatest areas that we can improve is how we express our worship, our devotion, and our love for God. So here's what we're going to do today. What I want to do is I want to share a few thoughts with you from Scripture. Then I'm going to invite your pastor to come and to share three different qualities of how we are to worship God. Then at the end of our time together, I'm going to give us all a chance once again to worship, to honor, and to celebrate the goodness of our God. I want to start today with the words of Jesus from John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said this, he said, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Jesus said, the time has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father. If there's such thing as true worshipers, then you'd have to agree there's probably false worshipers. Jesus says, for they, the true worshipers, are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Notice the Father is actually seeking worshipers. What was the Father not seeking? The Father was not seeking the best communicators, the most charismatic leaders, the best of the best, the richest of the rich, those who have the most Instagram followers, but instead the Father is searching for true worshipers. Now, you may say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you know, I may not be an amazing worshiper. And I would say, no, you are an amazing worshiper. We are all worshipers. Worshiping is simply showing what we value, showing what is worth something to us. For example, if you ever go to a sporting event and you love the team, what do? You celebrate and you worship. If you go to a concert and you love whoever's at the concert, what do? You celebrate and you worship what's going on. If you won the lottery, you would probably express some worship for something you're really, really excited about. In fact, I want to show you some images of people worshiping. Passion, enthusiasm, worship. Love, admiration. And notice in all of these pictures, what do we see? We see good worship. That's what it is. I mean, just call it what it is. That's really good worship. The problem is, it's a bad God. Think about it. And I don't want to pick at any artist or any sports team or any athlete calling them bad, but the reality is, these are not good gods. What do we have? We've got good worship of a bad God. The challenge is sometimes in the church we have the opposite. In the world, we may be good at worshiping a bad God, but sometimes in the church world, we have bad worship of a good God. Bad worship of a good God. For example, we had some time to worship today, about 20 minutes when you came in. I'd ask you, did you experience the presence of God during that time? Did you worship him for who he is, to thank him for what he's done, to express the deepest part of your heart and love for God? Or honestly, did you show up a little bit late and watch the band sing some songs? Jesus talked about this problem. He actually even quoted an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, and Jesus said this in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. He was talking about the hypocrites, and he said, these people honor me with their lips. They give me lip service, but their hearts are far from me. Then Jesus said this. He said, their worship is a farce. What I want to do is I want to help you prepare your heart to again today express worship to our God. And before I invite your pastor to come and share some from Scripture with you, I want to set the tone from David's words in Psalm 100, and this will hopefully prepare your heart. This is what David said. He said, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." What do? We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We go into his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Would you put your hands together, help welcome your pastor, and express your love for our good God?
My name is Brad. For those that don't know me, I'm one of the elders here at the Christian Church, and I will be serving as the pastor for today's message. When Pastor Greg, as I'm watching and preparing the information they had for this week's message, when Pastor Greg told me that I'd be helping teach this message, my first thought was, I'm going to have to modify my original plans for the weekend. I had expected to just drop a video in there and sit back and relax. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized God had given me an opportunity, a chance to step out of my comfort zone, for sure, and to help our church family with our transition to our new teaching method for the time being, at any rate. Never expected I'd be doing something like this, but I felt from the very beginning, as I was seeing that was the option and thinking about how I can handle it, I did have the opportunity to just drop a message in and let them do the whole thing, but this is what I felt needed to go. Lord was working this all out. He even arranged for me to have the day off from Walmart today. My coworker asked me 2 days ago, he said, "Hey, I need the 5th off. Can we swap a day?" And I picked up this day. So he's working for me today, and I'll work for him on Tuesday. And so that works out really well for me. So God was planning all of this. Mark had no idea he was working in God's plan. Anyhow, so since God is seeking true worshipers, we want to give glory and worship that he's due. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about three different aspects of true worship, three qualities from Scripture about true worshipers. The first one is that we worship with awe. And it's kind of hard for us to picture this these days because everything is awesome. That TV show is awesome, the sports team is awesome, the car is awesome, everything is awesome. Not really. If everything's awesome, then nothing is. And so we kind of lose what that is all about. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." The psalmist wrote, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before our God, the Maker." So the wise men, when they came to visit Jesus and bring him gifts, they knelt down to worship him. Simon Peter fell down to his knees. One day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. ask you to think of this. When was the last time that you've been stunned and shaken by the presence of God? I've been thinking about this as I've been putting this together, and a couple of times that were really amazing for me, I had the opportunity to go to a few Promise Keepers conference. First one I went to was in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. We had about 65,000 men in that auditorium. And when you got that many guys together and you're singing and just really amazing, amazing stuff. I also had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. for Stand in the Gap, where we had somewhere around 1 million men there on the mall, singing, praying, seeking God's guidance for our lives, for our country, for our leaders. Those were some pretty amazing times. Another aspect of true worshipers, they worship with abandon. 2 Samuel is talking about when David brought the ark back to the city of David. It actually took him a couple of tries. The first time he messed up, he put it on a cart. You don't put the ark on a cart. That's the way the pagans move things. The ark was only supposed to be carried with poles. So somebody was trying to keep it from falling and they died. And so David stopped all this. But when he finally got it into the city of David, he was so happy. He just went all out. He was dressed in priestly robes. He was dancing around and just going at it. And it says, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was just totally enthralled with happiness in finally getting the ark home. Not everybody was pleased with his display. His wife, or as it talks about her in the scripture, Saul's daughter, said, "You're making a fool out of yourself. The king shouldn't be acting this way." David's reply, "I was dancing before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish, even to be humiliated in my own eyes, because I want everybody to know how awesome our God is." In other words, you haven't seen anything yet. Because God is God, and because he's done what he's done, I can't help but praise him. Now, a few of you know what I'm talking about. Not everybody, but a few. You've experienced his grace. You know what it means to be forgiven. You're different. You're new. You're his. Because of what he's done, you've got to give him praise. Sometimes you just have to shout. Lift your hands, lift your voices. Tell him what you love about him. That's what worship is all about. Just really, you know, letting God know that we know what he is and how special he is to us. Tell him he's so good. The third item that we're talking about, true worshipers worship with intimacy. David said in Psalm 27, that one thing I ask from the Lord is this. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. If I could do one thing, it's not power, it's not things, not money, intimacy with God, dwelling in his house, seeing his glory, worshiping. That's what intimacy is all about. It's kind of like this. You ask me about my wife, Ava. I could go on and on with details of the way she cares for both our moms, the way she cares for our kids, our granddaughter. I love it when she smiles at me. I love how she says goodbye when I go to work. I love the lunches she makes for me. When we were first married and I worked for the litter patrol, she made these great big hoagie sandwiches in my lunchbox, and the whole rest of the crew was envious all the time. We did something special for them. She made a huckleberry or blackberry buckle, and we stopped by the house so we could eat it on our way in between things. Yeah, when I leave for work, she's always waving as I go away. She's watching out the window as long as she can see me, and or down the driveway. I love how we think about the same things. When we were moving from Chinook to California, we ended up kind of stuck in a blizzard, and we're at a rest area. I'm outside checking on some stuff on the truck, and she's inside with some people we were giving a ride because they were stuck. And Ava told the passenger, says, "Now, Brad, don't forget to clear the windshield wipers." And right as she said that, I started doing it. And the lady said, "How do you do that?" She said, "We've always done that. Still do." You may not know this, but she's known me 10 years longer than I've known her. She remembers me from first grade at Bellevue, but my memories start 10 years later at the varsity here in Ashland. Notice I don't have to do any research. I didn't have to take a class. I didn't have to Google anything, stalk her on social media, because I know her. I don't know about her. I know her intimately. Not facts. That's what God wants of us, to grow and to know him. Not facts about him, but intimate knowledge of his character, his goodness born out of time, his words, his hours in his presence. That's why it's important for us to spend time in God's word. That's his way of talking to us. And time in prayer, because that's our way of talking to him. It's a two-way street. That's what I want for the Christian Church of Ashland. I see this as a lighthouse in this part of Ashland. You know, Ashland has been an area in the past where, you know, been revivals and all kinds of things. And I look at our area here, and we don't have a lot of parking, so there's no, but there are more than enough people within walking distance of this building to fill it up. We just have to get them, share the good news with them, welcome them, invite them to join us, and to get to know God the way we know him. All of the things that we do here are designed to help us with our relationship with God and empower us to go out and share that so that other people can have a relationship with him as well. What we're going to do now, I'm going to pray, and then, you know, thinking about, you know, awesome God, made me think of Rich Mullins, awesome God, and I found it on YouTube. So we're going to close out our service. Feel free to sing along, if nothing else, at least for the chorus. Everybody knows that. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to gather today. Thank you for a place to meet. Thank you for all those folks that are here. We thank you for our guests. I'll be available after the service if anybody wants to chat, if they need prayer, if they want to talk about something, they want to know more about who this God is that we're talking about today. I'll be around here. Just come on, let me talk with me. I'll be happy to do that. One of our goals is to have somebody available every week that folks can talk with if they need to. Father, thank you for your many blessings. We ask that you watch over Jake and Greta as they travel back to Wisconsin. Keep them safe on the road. Be with our people battling the forest fires, folks that are displaced from their homes, from fires and floods. Thank you for everyone here today. Let your spirit remain with us as we leave this building. Let it be obvious to those we interact with that there's something special about us. Help us all be ready to share what that something special is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.